Good evening. This is Rabbi Mayevsky. Tonight's shiur is being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Leia Bas Reb Moshe, and also for the zchus of Yisrael Tzvi Ben Malka and Amichai Yosef Ben Malka.
I just wanted to give you a short update about what happened to us a few days ago. Basically, we headed to the border on Yom Kippur in the afternoon. We started going in Motzei Shabbos, Motzei Yom Kippur. In the early hours of the morning, as soon as we crossed the border, so the pluga in front of us, they walked into an ambush and they got hit by a few anti-tank missiles. There were a lot of soldiers that were injured. There was major chaos. Our job there was to help evacuate them to an ambulance outside the border and from there straight to the hospital. And as we were walking back, climbing down the mountain, there was a targeted missile attack directly on us. The missiles fell so close to us that I even lost a bit of my hearing, got a few superficial scratches and some cuts from the ricochets, and they mamish fell very, very close to us, like literally a few meters away, and one even hit a group of soldiers behind us, Baruch Hashem. No one was killed, just injured. And I remember during the attack, I was lying down on my stomach. It was only like, I don't know, a minute and a half, a minute, something like that. I was covering my head. Can't really recall exactly what I said. I was saying to Hashem, but I mamish felt like Hashem was guiding the missiles to fall around us and not on us directly. And as we continued, I thought to myself how lucky we are that we have all these Jews around the world davening for us, and I'm not even sure that they understand how much it affects us in reality. I have a few friends that are atheists, and they even admitted that there's something out there protecting us. And that's it. Right now, we're preparing again and going in very soon. And I ask you to continue davening and doing Ma'asim Tovim and saying Tehillim for the safety of all our chayalim. Thank you so much.
Very meaningful. And I know I got a text from one of my nephews who's fighting in Lebanon, and he came home for the first day Sukkot, but on Friday he's heading back to Lebanon. And he had a couple of close calls in his own moshav. A missile hit in the ground. He showed me pictures of the missile laying in the ground on his moshav. There were a few minor injuries, but no one was killed. And everybody is of the same thought of something that we just heard from this very meaningful soldier. We tend to forget what's going on, and we feel somewhat safe here. As much as things are, we feel safe here in America. We don't have to worry about missiles falling, and we see what's going on in the world. And therefore, it plays very much into what we have in Sukkot. The question that somebody asked me today was very interesting, because the truth is, the question was many years ago. Somebody else, we discussed it, and many other Rishonim discussed the same thing. Of course, we know that the Sukkot is on the 15th day of Tishrei, the same as Pesach, or Chag HaMatzos is on the 15th day of Nisan, and it's to tell us that's really one Yontif together, and it should be both celebrated together. But of course, imagine having to make a Seder in a Sukkah and eating matzah in the Sukkah and spending all that time in the Sukkah in the spring. But what we have the in ration, to be realistic, it would be very difficult, and it would lose sight. One of the Yom Tovim would lose something. One would overshadow the other. And certainly it would, Pesach would certainly overshadow the whole mitzvah of Sukkah. In fact, as we get to the mitzvah of Sukkah in when we lay in Shorah Chesiv on Thursday and Friday in America here, when it gets to the part of Sukkot, it says, L'kachtem michad bayom arishon, priyetz hador kapos t'morim. We learn all about the mitzvah of taking a lulav and esrig and hadasim and aravos, the arba minim. But the fact is, it's all the way at the end of the entire paragraph when it says, Basukos, ki basukos, o shafti es b'nei Yisrael, b'eretz Mitzrayim, that we should eat in the Sukkah, basukos, teshvu, shavaz shamim, kolu ezroch, b'Yisrael, yeshvu, basukos. And that is when it finally says, at the very end of the paragraph, the whole mitzvah of eating in the Sukkah, it doesn't say until the end. So one might ask, How come it doesn't say when we think of Sukkot, we think of the first thing, we don't think of a lulav and esrog necessarily, but we certainly think of eating in the sukkah, having to build a sukkah, the tircha of doing it. It costs money or whatever it is. But the truth of the matter is, God doesn't want us. The very interesting thing about a sukkah is that we have a machlokas about whether the sukkah is to symbolize Hanani HaKavod, the heavenly clouds that protected us in the sukkah, or that it's just Kibas Sukkos Hoshavti es Bnei Yisrael, that the Bnei Yisrael ate for 40 years in the Midbar. They ate in these huts, whatever they were made out of, however they were constructed, but they ate in the sukkah. But either way, God wants us to remember him in that even though it was in the desert, a very hot climate, that the temperatures, the inclement weather was held off by the Hanani HaKavod. And that's why eating in the sukkah is only to be done when it is decent weather. In other words, we have it a little bit in the spring, excuse me, a little bit in the fall, and a little bit still in the summer months. It's supposed to be broken up into a little bit of both. And that's what Sukkot is all about. And why we do that, perhaps, as I said at the beginning, Pesach and Sukkot should be one long yontif, but we want to bracket the whole seasons. This way we get to remember God. It's Eilam Moadei Hashem. We always have to remember that as much as we celebrate the Yom Tov and Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, we want to make sure that God wants to make us sure that we celebrate Him, we remember Him in most of the seasons of the world. Certainly, that there's a Yontif in spring and in summer and in fall, that always we have to remember Him. But it's very interesting, and the whole factor involved here is, why in particular, one would think, the question is asked, why do we not start Bereshis? We would think that it's Rosh Hashanah, being the beginning of the new year, we should begin the cycle of reading the Torah on Rosh Hashanah. We should, or right away the Shabbos after Rosh Hashanah, we should start Bereshis. And why we don't lane it, we don't lane the parasha of Bereshis until the end of Sukkot, the last day on Simchas Torah. We finally begin Bereshis after Sukkot. And it's a very interesting question, and it bears some thought. And the reality is that what do we have on Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, we pray for forgiveness for all our sins. And now, what is the Sefer Devarim that we've been reading in the last 2 months? We're reading Sefer Devarim, and Devarim is full of the tochacha, the rebuke that Moshe is giving Klal Yisrael, all the things that we might, all the pitfalls of what will happen in the future. But the reality is, Moshe is warning us about the reality, and that's why it says, "V'zos ha-bracha asher b'irach Moshe lifnei Moso." He gave us this lifnei Moso. Why does it have to say lifnei Moso? We obviously know that he spoke these words before he died. But the reality is that the people, somebody always speaks the truth on his deathbed. He is certainly going to not say anything that is not true. And this way, the Torah wants us to tell us that, but that Moshe is speaking the truth and Bnei Israel would understand it. But it's for the years later. Moshe is telling Klal Yisrael in Zos HaBracha that everything, even though he gave them all this rebuke, he's telling them of the glorious future that awaits them in Eretz Yisrael, all the pluses of each Shevet, the Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Even Reuven is given the bracha that Yaakov never gave him when it says, Yechi Reuven v'al Yomos, and various things. And Levi gets a tremendous bracha, and all the brothers except for Shimon get this tremendous bracha that their future lying ahead for them is a glorious one. But if I were to tell you that at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, we start laning from Bereshis, we start laning the Torah again, and we begin the year with all the good news, and we lane Zos HaBracha, Rosh Hashanah. If I told you before Yom Kippur that, by the way, before you pray in Yom Kippur, I would like to tell you that in a few weeks you're going to win the lottery, how much would you daven on how, what would the input of your, the kavana and the thought process of davening with greatest intention towards God and praying for your future. How much would you pray if you know that you're going to have a tremendous year ahead and the life ahead is going to be great? We want to finish, get up to Yom Kippur with the Tochacha to spur one to do the tshuva. And that's why we don't begin Bereishis until the end. But Zosa Bracha is a very interesting parsha in effect when it says Zorach me si hofia me har paron v'yosor me rivos kodesh hofia me har paron. We're aware of all the fact is that it says we have a medrash that tells us that God went to all the other nations of the world lest they go ahead and start saying to us, why God, why didn't you offer us the Torah if Israel is going to have such a great future? Because they accepted the Torah, you didn't give us the Torah, you didn't offer it to us. But now the Medrash tells us that God went to offer all of it. We see that in the Pasuk of Zarach Mei Seir Lomo Hofia Mehar Paron. And one is for Zarach Mei Seir Lomo, one is that phrase is to reference to Esav, and because that's Seir, and the summer, and the next phrase is to Yishmael, and that the nations of the world, but it only mentions Esav. In other words, it only mentions Christianity and Islam. Why only mention those two? What about all the other nations of the world? Why focus on Esav and Yishmael? And the question is, because the truth is that in the future, the Arbar Benel makes an interesting point because he wrote this in the early 1500s. And what he says is even way back then, he realized that even though there are so many countries of the world, there would only be three religions that would dominate the world. And he was right, even 500 years ago, there are certainly many religions, different facets of all the other religions. But Christianity and Islam and Judaism certainly are the focus of the entire world. And those are the only two that matter. And at the end of time, those will be the ones that will be focused on most of all the world. And the point is, what is the word Vizorach Meseir Lomo actually mean? God wants us, the word Vizorach, it doesn't mean that the references to Yishmael, but Vizorach Miseir Lomo, God is talking about us in reality, that he wants us to shine. Vizorach is that as the sun shines, he wants Klal Yisrael. We are so few people, but our job in this world is to shine our light, even though we are so few in number throughout the world. But if we're going to be spread out through the world in our efforts, not necessarily, hopefully all the Jews will at one point in time live in Eretz Yisrael, but nevertheless, our accomplishments will be a light to the world. V'zorach mi seir lomo. We will shine throughout the world. And that is what God wants, our lights to shine. And this is the point. So we begin the year with Pesach, and Nisan is the beginning of the year, which represented in the month of Nisan, and Pesach represents the Yetzias Mitzrayim. At 6 months later, the Chag HaOsif B'Tzeis HaShonah, there's symbolism there, the Chag HaOsif B'Tzeis HaShonah, when we're bringing in all the fruits of our labor, the fruits of our lives that we bring in, V'zorach Meseir Lomo. Also, that at the end of the year, we thank God for all his munificence. When we bring it in, we have the ability to thank God for at the end of the year. So we want God to be spread out over the course of the whole year. We have the middle of the road, which is Shavuot, certainly. But Sukkot is, we sit there in this rather Sukkah, that is the prozdor, as we know, it's only the corridor for the future. But we're not supposed to be mitzvah. When we say you're supposed to sit in the sukkah, it's not as we have this unfortunate phrase that a lot of people say is Shretz Zainayi. That's not what God wants. God wants us to enjoy life. God wants us to think to be a Jew is not too difficult. Vizorach may say Yir Lomo. We're supposed to not sit in the sukkah in the rain. We leave the sukkah. If it's the Anani HaKavod, we should certainly leave the sukkah and go inside. It's the idea is that even though we eat in the sukkah at the end of the year, we are enjoying life. And it's just the symbolism of eating the sukkah. That's the siman for the geula. The beginning of the year starts with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sukkot at the end of the year represents the going into Eretz Yisrael, so that the Jews who now enter Eretz Yisrael do not forget the generations to come, because the next generation in 5 generations, 3, 4 generations after they go into the land, they forget about Yetzias Mitzrayim, the 40 years in the Midbar. It's for the people who actually made it into Eretz Yisrael and are living comfortably in the land, that they should always remember their parents and grandparents who had to suffer and live for 40 years in the Midbar. It's for those generations. So we begin, even though it's for the same reason, to remember the Dor HaMidbar, but one is for the Yetzia of Mitzrayim, for the Gula from Mitzrayim, but one, the Sukkot represents the Gula. And once we have the Gula, we are now ready. Once we're sitting in Eretz Yisrael and we sit in our Sukkah and look up through the Schach and remind ourselves of God's munificence, that the crops are in, we're sitting and looking forward to a prosperous new year. We still look up at the sky and remember Hashem, and that we are sitting in the Sukkah outside of our safe homes, but even outside, we have the ability to thank God for everything that's been happening to us, and may this year be a greater year. Sukkot represents the Gula La'asid Lavo, that it's the end of the year. V'chag O'asiv B'tzeis HaShonah, it's the end of the year, the end of this cycle of Judaism in the world, when the world comes to an end, Mashiach finally shows itself, and is V'chag O'asiv B'tzeis HaShonah, B'yosbechos Ma'asech Min HaSodeh. We begin Bereshis anew. We read the new chapter, and life begins anew in the land of Eretz Yisrael. May we have a much better year this year than we had last year. May the Gula come. We have all these miracles. My nephew sent me this picture of a missile that landed in his moshav today. And he was showing me a picture. They took pictures of the missile. And yet they're all so thankful. Instead of being afraid, they are all, like we had the opening little story at the beginning, not a little story, but very meaningful. The people who are atheists even begin to believe that everybody was just crowding around, looking at this missile on the ground and thinking of how many people could have been killed, and yet only through the good grace of God. And this represents the mitzvah of eating in the sukkah. Even if we're outside, not in the safety of a brick home, we are still under God's protection. The schach over us teaches us that as Sukkot is the Tzeis HaShonah, we have weathered the storm this far, and we will weather the storm in the coming year. And the Zorach Me Seir Lamo, may Judaism shine throughout the world, that little by little, perhaps we see little chinks of the armor of the other countries of the world finally coming around to the thought process that perhaps Jews are in the right. Hopefully it shows itself this year. May this year bring that reality to the rest of the world. Thank you and good night.
Thank you. Yasha Koach. God bless you and the family.
Thank you, Gail.
Chag Sameach, everybody.